Millions of Americans were captivated in late 2014 when the hit podcast Serial took the world by storm. The 12-episode series tackled the story of Adnan Syed, his trial and subsequent murder conviction for the death of his former girlfriend, Haemin Lee. The podcast sparked national interest in Syed's case, and a Maryland judge vacated Adnan's conviction just this past June, granting him a new trial.
Our next guest says that while the story Serial told was true, it wasn't the whole truth or the whole story. In a new book, she digs deeper into the case of Adnan Syed and examines some of the bigger questions left unanswered by Serial and explains why she thinks he should go free.
Rabia Chowdhury joins us now. She's an attorney, a senior fellow at the U.S. Institute of Peace, and a national security fellow at the New America Foundation. She's also the co-host of the podcast Undisclosed and author of the new book, Adnan's Story, The Search for Truth and Justice After Serial. Rabia, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So in that introduction, we mentioned all of the various titles you have. What we didn't mention is that you're also a very close friend to the Syed family. You were there the day Adnan was sentenced, and you were also responsible for reaching out to producer Sarah Koenig with Adnan's story, which led to the birth of Serial. So with all that in mind, how incredibly personal is this story for you?
It is very personal. I've watched this family suffer and Adnan suffer for 17 years, and I've known him since he was 13 years old. He's my younger brother's best friend and has been like a little brother to me. And just, you know, even as an attorney, but I didn't practice criminal defense, but still, even as an attorney, seeing this case up close and personal has always been a source of a lot of just anger at the system for me.
I don't think anyone could have predicted the success that first season of Serial would go on to. It's kind of birthed the dreams of podcasters all over the place. But what do you think it was about Adnan Syed's story that just really resonated with people?
You know, I don't think Adnan's story, I mean, of course, it has its unique, very interesting elements and characters and people involved. But really, I think almost any wrongful conviction case that you can take, everything has to go wrong for you to end up with a wrongful conviction. And I think these stories are always compelling. Sometimes the storyteller is not as compelling, but in this case, Sarah is an amazing storyteller, and they just really crafted the narrative beautifully and unfolded the story really in a compelling way. So I don't know if it's hard for me to understand because, you know, obviously I'm so close to it. Mm-hmm. I always ask other people, why were you fascinated with it? You tell me.
So you write that while the story Serial told was true, it wasn't the whole truth or maybe the whole story. From your perspective, from where you were sitting so close to the family, but also someone with a legal background, what was missing in that very investigative and deep look at the case?
Well, you know, I mean, me and two other attorneys, Susan Simpson, Colin Miller, went on to do Undisclosed, our own podcast, in which we did kind of try to cover the things that Serial didn't, or, you know, we did it in a different way. We approached it from a legal and investigative standpoint. So some of the things that, you know, we wanted to talk about were was the technology involved. Serial did look a little bit at the cell phone stuff. Sarah herself never really examined it. She kind of had one of her producers or assistants, Dana Chivas, do it. And as far as we were concerned, they were wrong. They got the technology wrong. So we revisited that. And in fact, that became the basis for why he was eventually given a new trial very recently. We also looked at other things like, you know, we looked very closely at how and why the state's witness, Jay Wiles' statements changed. And Susan Simpson was able to identify exactly how the pattern of why they changed. We looked at the medical evidence, which I don't think Serial touched on at all.
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah, the autopsy report, the lividity, and these were really important issues because in a case where there wasn't a lot of real, you know, evidence, tangible evidence, the autopsy report, the medical evidence was very, very important.
So I think that some people would say, well, he was represented by a lawyer. So if these things were so important, why didn't they come out in the first trial? What can you tell us about the representation that Adnan had?
Well, I mean, you know, Adnan is not the only one to ever have hired an attorney who didn't do their job properly. Ineffective assistance of counsel is a claim that we find actually quite common, especially in wrongful convictions. Like I said, everything has to go wrong there. In this particular case, Christina Gutierrez, who was hired because she had a wonderful reputation in her heyday, we did not know as a community she was really on her last legs. She was very sick in that last year or so. She had multiple illnesses. She had taken on I think, 8 or 9 murder cases at the same time, which is an incredible caseload for any attorney. And she just wasn't able to perform. And in the years after, in the couple of years after, she was not only disbarred for having really messed up the cases of almost 40 clients, but also she died. She was that ill.
Hmm. And given that, one would think that when there's proof that someone, especially in such a significant case, in a case that has so much importance for the person who is convicted, but also for the family and loved ones of the victim, that knowing that Ms. Gutierrez was not giving proper counsel, you would think that that would have been enough to get a new trial. Why was that not enough?
Well, I mean, procedurally, the way it works is you have to wait for a certain point in the appellate process before you can raise something like Christina Gutierrez's health. And that point is post-conviction relief. You have up until 10 years to file it. And because it costs a lot of money, it took many years to raise the money, we filed the post-conviction. We hired an attorney in 2008. It took a couple years to prepare. We filed it, I think, end of 2009. And that was something that was raised. But, you know, what's interesting is that the state, in the post-conviction, did everything they could to exclude the evidence of all of the complaints against her from the Attorney Grievance Commission and also exclude all the medical evidence. And they actually won. The judge ruled in their favor. So none of that evidence was even allowed in. But in a common sense way, I mean, forget a legal analysis, but for anybody looking at this in a common sense way, you would say, why would you exclude evidence of this lady, of this attorney, who clearly had become almost incoherent by the end of her career? I think it's just very unfair, fundamentally unfair.
We're talking with Rabia Chowdhury. She's the author of Adnan's Story, The Search for Truth and Justice After Serial. Rabia, as we said, you are a very close friend of the family. You've known Adnan since he was a very young boy. Tell us what kind of person he is or was when you knew him.
You know, I used to joke with Adnan. I used to tell him to stay away from my brother because I said my brother will corrupt you. My brother's always been like kind of this alpha male jock type. And Adnan was always just very, very, just a very congenial, very kind person. He paid attention to everybody in his space, from the oldest to the youngest, and very non-confrontational. And anytime there was an issue, Adnan was the one who would always be the one to de-escalate any you know, problems. He would be the one to say, listen, if there's an argument, I'm sorry, let's just let this go. And, you know, in the 17 years he's been incarcerated, he's never once had an altercation. He's never once had a fight with another inmate because that's who he is. He just is not a confrontational or violent person, which is why this entire, you know, the charges against him are even more preposterous. It is completely divorced from his nature.
You say in your book that the legal system or any large system is really only the combined prejudices and ideas and biases of the people that are working within that. How do you see the issues of bias in the legal and criminal justice systems and how it plays out in a case like Adnan's?
I mean, I think, you know, research has shown that one of the biggest impacts that that leads us to things like over-incarceration, getting the wrong defendant, and even like disproportionate impact on certain communities like Black communities are cognitive biases, and all human beings have them. So everybody who touches a case is going to come to that case with their biases. In Adnan's case, from the very beginning, even before they knew that Heyman Lee had been murdered, even before a body had been found, they didn't even know what happened to her, they began pulling Adnan's like criminal records. I mean, he didn't have any, but they began looking at him as a suspect, and that was because the entire theory of the state's case was he was a Muslim boy who Hay had, you know, they had broken up, and so it was like an honor killing. The Muslim honor killing was the theory of their case. So they were heavily biased against him simply because of his religion and ethnicity.
So the latest development, as we mentioned earlier, is that a Maryland judge vacated Adnan's conviction this past June, granting him a new trial. But the state's attorney general recently announced a challenge to that ruling and requested that a new trial be put on hold while the appeals process plays out. What do you see will be the next step of this, and how quickly might there be that new trial for Adnan?
Well, you know what, the state filed because they don't actually have a right to appeal. They don't have an automatic right. They have to ask permission to appeal. So what they filed was actually that application for permission. That application could easily be dismissed because many are dismissed by the appellate court. If it is not dismissed, there will be then a full-blown hearing on this on the issues that they raised. We filed a cross appeal already, and but if it is denied, which, again, it's likely that it could be denied, then the judge's ruling stands that Adnan gets a new trial, in which case the state has to, really within the next 6 months to a year, docket the trial, begin preparations. Or if they decide they don't want to go to trial because they have very little to go on at this point, they might offer him a plea deal or drop charges of something of that sort. But I don't see anything really happening significantly for at least a year. He'll remain incarcerated probably during that time.
And as we wrap up, we just got breaking news that a federal judge has apparently overturned the conviction of Brendan Dassey, the nephew of Stephen Avery, in the murder of Teresa Halbach here in Wisconsin. Both Avery and Dassey were at the center of the Netflix series Making a Murderer. We're still learning the details as to why the judge ordered this. But Rabia, as we wrap up, what do you think that says? And the movement on Adnan's case that that shows and podcasts like Serial or Making a Murderer can have?
That is fantastic. I'm hearing it from you myself, so I'm really happy to hear that. I think it was a grave miscarriage of justice in that case, both with Brendan and really, I also believe with Stephen Avery himself. I think what's happened is that, you know, this is proof positive that media and journalism, even citizen journalism, can really have an impact, and that's why I wanted to get a journalist involved. That's why I reached out to Sarah Koenig. And right now in our podcast, we Undisclosed, we are looking at a second wrongful conviction. And we also are fairly confident that we can help exonerate another young man.
We're going to have to leave it there, Rabia. Thank you so much for joining us today. Rabia Chowdhury is the author of Adnan's Story, The Search for Truth and Justice After Serial.